From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. On this week's Field Trip, the second part of my interview with Sausalito Ultra Runner, David Ronsky. If you missed last week's episode, you can listen to it on our archive at radiosausalito.org. So how much water do you carry with you?
It's depending on if I'm by myself or how long I'm going in between meetings with my team, but I could carry anywhere from 2 liters, a liter on my back and a liter in my hands with like hand bottles, and then obviously whatever my pacer would be carrying. But it just depends on the altitude, the heat, how far I'm going, all those things kind of modify how much water you should carry, but obviously better to have too much than not enough.
Sure, but that's added weight, right? Another 4 or 5 pounds of water in 2 liters.
Yeah, water can be a huge weight. So if you don't need to carry it, it's definitely something that will slow you down. And so that's something that I'll have to kind of monitor in this next race, is how much water I need in between each station. You will be by yourself, so obviously I want to, you know, stay safe and have enough, more than I need. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, make yourself a pack mule and you have to walk everything.
What about if you come to a waterfall? Do you have chlorine tablets? Do you have something to, can you drink wild water?
I have drank wild water in Brazil, out of necessity more than anything. We were actually in a very hot part of the race early on. It was almost 100 degrees for that 2-day period. And we actually got to a stream, and I was with a few other people, and I saw them emptying their bottles because they had only a few ounces of water and it was probably boiling hot. So they emptied it out and held it under the stream and drank it. And I watched them drink it, and they seemed to be, you know, pretty pleased with it. So I did the same, and that was a huge help. And I've done that a few times, but I try to obviously not have that be my main source of water unless it's, you know, absolutely necessary. But I actually have not carried chlorine tablets, even though that would be a good idea, I should say. But in the past, I've just been, I guess, again, lucky to have a nice, clean water system on the trail.
So if it's 100 degrees during the day in the mountains, I assume it's cooler at night.
Yeah, so in Brazil, it was extremely hot during the days, and it was only one of the few years, or maybe only year, that it did not rain at all. Like, it almost went the entire race, which is a 60-hour time limit, to just having like maybe 30 minutes of drizzle or like 30 minutes of light rain, which is extremely rare there. It usually pours off and on throughout the race. So it was definitely one of the drier, hotter years during the day. And then at night, it was still pretty comfortable. I wouldn't say it was cold.
So let me ask you this. You can't run uphill and down dale. Do you run on the flat and walk up the hills? And how do you deal with the downhill? Because running downhills are oftentimes no easier than in fact, harder than running uphill. How do you work that?
Yeah, so a lot has to do with, obviously, the steepness of the terrain and how runnable it is, and obviously where you are in the race. I'm not going to be running uphill 150 miles into a race as I would 30 miles. So the distance of where I am in the race has a lot to do with it. And that's something that this race in Europe is going to really challenge me with, is the fact that it is severely steep and much, much more difficult than anything I've attempted so far. So the pace will be a lot more hiking oriented. So I will definitely be doing a lot more steep terrain, walking, hiking, running, training, as opposed to just going out and running as much as I can. It's going to be a kind of a combination between hiking and running. I was going to say, I'm trying to run most of the uphills if I can, you know, during that first day, at least during the first 24 hours. I'm trying to get as far as I can in that first day, knowing that I'm going to slow down naturally. So again, another thing I just learned from experience each time I do these long runs is that I, you know what I kind of want to get to after 24 hours or after 48 hours, and that it's just something I can do to break up that long distance, because it is such a long distance that you have to kind of break it up into mini segments so you can give yourself a goal
Well, that's going to be my next question. So you can't go out and scout 135 miles like you would with the HiCom Mount Tam. So you look at the map, and now I guess with GPS technology, you could kind of figure out the segments or the legs and how it's going to work and the altitude that you'll face or the descent. And do you work it out scientifically like that, or you just wing it?
Yeah, no, I do definitely look at elevation profiles. And like you said, the internet obviously is a major resource for all that stuff. So like Tahoe Rim Trail, I had detailed maps of each segment. I had maps of the entire thing as a whole. I had elevation charts for each segment. So I knew what I was getting into. I know what the easy sections were, what the hard sections were. And that's obviously part of the planning. This Europe race will be much different because obviously I can't go to the actual course before I do it. Which is a good and a bad thing, but it definitely will be more of me just playing it by my feeling and my physical and mental awareness for this race, because I will be by myself, so I will have a lot more responsibility to kind of keep myself in check. And sleeping also has not ever happened in the past with these runs, and I may be forced to sleep during this run. I can fathom staying up for about 75 to 80 hours, and so if I can get to that point and then kind of assess, you know, how alert and safe I am, then I can go from there. But finishing is the number one goal.
Tell me about the food. What do you eat? When do you eat it? Do you carry it? What's the best thing to eat? You must be losing fat very fast.
Sure. Eating is something that's very kind of transitional, in the fact that I went from, you know, not having any idea of how to eat for these long runs and just simply eating goo and, you know, all the electrolytes and Gatorade and all that stuff for like a 50 miler. And then the longer you increase those distances, the more you rely on real food. And so I came from eating goo and all the energy stuff and stuff that you don't want to be eating for days on end to just eating regular food. So I would eat, you know, a rice and chicken burrito or like a piece of pizza or whatever I wanted. I would have as an option at the stops where I would meet my team. But I mean, you know, over the Tahoe Rim Trail, I would consume a goo every, you know, hour or even to an hour. So I was, you know, consuming hundreds of goos on top of, you know, regular food, chips, pretzels, anything salt and sugar based is obviously the best. You don't want things that stay in your gut a long time. So you're not eating any fiber, you're not eating any, you know, whole wheat, anything. Fruit is great. Liquids obviously are preferable. I like doing some protein smoothies with fruit and stuff blended up if I have the option. And of course, that's just where all the team part comes in, where they obviously are doing all that for me, because I could never, you know, do all that on my own just in between stops. So it's become a transition of going from very like high sugar goo energy gel type foods to more traditional foods where I can actually have some substance and not have to, you know, rot my stomach with all that sugar for the 2 or 3 day period.
Let me read another quote. You say when you were doing the run in Brazil, I started a steep descent into town on what seemed to be the worst barefoot running trail surface imaginable. The trail was completely covered in softball-sized rocks with jagged edges and no clear path to follow. The combination of the rocky surface, gravity downhill at a quick pace, and running in my Vibrams turned out to equal disaster. After a few minutes of quick descent, I took a step with my right foot, landed directly on the point of an extremely sharp-cornered rock, and then you had incredible pain and... what happened?
Yeah, so that was actually the first experience I ever had with any sort of injury during a race. And it was actually going really well before that. And I was really happy with the terrain. And that previous to that, I had run the Tahoe Rim Trail 100 in Vibrams and, you know, had no problems, but no injury type problems during the race. And so that was just one of those portions of the trail that I, you know, wasn't ready for and really couldn't do anything about it. I just had to keep going downhill, and I was kind of going faster and faster without, you know, trying, just because of the steepness of the grade. And I just kind of landed wrong on one foot when I went to take a step and went right to the corner of a rock, and it just kind of hit me in the spot of your foot that is like in between the middle part of your foot and your heel. Just kind of shot pain through my whole foot, and then, you know, that was something that was scary, because at the time that was only about 30 or 40 miles in, and I wasn't sure if it was going to, you know, get better, get worse. It was just kind of a soft tissue thing. So I, you know, got through it, got to the next town, and then, I mean, I was never considering stopping. I just obviously wanted to see if it was going to improve at all, or, you know, hopefully it was going to just numb itself and I wasn't going to pay attention to it anymore. But it was a very good learning experience of just paying attention and obviously remembering that I'm running in, you know, very flimsy shoes that don't have a lot of protection. And so it was something that just slowed me down dramatically, and that was probably the reason that I did take 47 hours to finish. But again, just something that I had to work through, and, you know, eventually you can kind of just block it out of your mind.
Well, tell me about the Vibrams that you were wearing.
Yeah, so Vibrams are just five-fingered shoes, so your toes individually go into each slot, and there's no cushion, there's no padding or anything like that. So it's just a strap, like a leather strap that you would use to secure it. There's no laces. And again, these are just the model that I wear. It's leather on top, rubber on the bottom, and it's pretty much mimicking the motion of running barefoot.
Well, David, people must think that you're a guy who really has his head in the clouds to do this. In actual fact, you're a pretty grounded guy. You're a math teacher, and you're finishing up your PhD or your master's in math?
Yes, I'm finishing my master's in education, actually, June 1st, so in a few weeks here. And I'm going to teach high school math. And so, yeah, I'm a pretty normal guy on paper, I guess.
Well, David, continued success to you in your running endeavors. I really admire you. And to learn more about David Ronski, you can go to the website helpdavidrun.com. Well, David, good luck to you on the run. And maybe we'll have you back on the show later on in the year, and you can tell us how it went.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, Mitchell.
That's Sausalito's own David Ronski, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous marine sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, anytime on your computer at radiosausalito.org, and 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.